Bali Maharaj said, "As you have already stated, the principle of religion that does not hinder one's economic development, sense gratification, fame, and means of livelihood is the real occupational duty of the householder. I also think that this religious principle is correct." Remember, this is Bali Maharaj replying to Shukracharya, who has warned him. "It'll be a violation of Dharma if you follow your word and give the land to this Brahmana boy, because the Brahmana boy is actually Vishnu." So now, after long deliberation, deep thought, Bali Maharaj is responding in a very precarious situation. Purport. Bali Maharaj's grave answer to Shukracharya is meaningful. Shukracharya stressed that one's material means of livelihood and one's material reputation, sense gratification, and economic development must continue properly. To see to this is the first duty of a man who is a householder, especially one who is interested in material affairs. If a religious principle does not affect one's material condition, it is to be accepted. At the present time, in the days of Kali, this idea is extremely prominent. No one is prepared to accept any religious principle if it hampers material prosperity. Shukracharya, being a person of this material world, did not know the principles of a devotee. A devotee is determined to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his full satisfaction. Anything that hampers such determination should certainly be rejected. This is the principle of bhakti. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya bhajana. To perform devotional service, one must accept only that which is favorable and reject that which is unfavorable. Bali Maharaj had the opportunity to contribute everything he possessed to the lotus feet of Lord Brahmadeva. But Shukracharya was putting forward a material argument to hamper this process of devotional service. Under the circumstances, Bali Maharaj decided that such hindrances should certainly be avoided. In other words, he decided immediately to reject the advice of Shukracharya and go on with his duty. Thus he gave all his possessions to Lord Brahmadeva. Om Ajnana Chimanandasya Gyananjanasya Chakshan Nidhamyena Tasmai Shri Kudavekamala Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gaurabhada Srivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama This is a very grave and serious situation, and Bali Maharaj, please be aware, is giving a very grave and serious answer. You all know the background. Shukracharya, the family priest, a ritualistic guru, not conversant with the science of Krishna, has ordered his disciple, Bali Maharaj, "Do not fulfill your promise to give charity to this dwarf Brahmana boy. You'll lose everything. And by the way, this dwarf Brahmana boy is actually Vishnu. You give too much to Vishnu. Not good." Shukracharya promised Bali Maharaj, just like a good lawyer, "Don't worry, I'll get you off the hook." When some wealthy person has a problem, they usually try to get the best lawyer possible, and the lawyer assures them, "I'll twist the law, I'll twist the interpretation, everything will be all right." So Shukracharya is doing that to his client, Bali Maharaj. In this way, Shukracharya is not acting at all in Bali Maharaj's is thinking. If Bali Maharaj gives everything to this dwarf Brahmana boy, who I know is out of the issue, there won't be any donations left for me. He's thinking like that. So he has to come up with some word jugglery to preserve the wealth of his client so that he can go on getting his income. You see, material life becomes complicated like this. All sorts of motives are mixed together. So, Shukracharya told Bali Maharaj, first of all, even though you have promised to give the precepts of land, ordinarily that is true and the promise should be fulfilled. However, one should never complete a promise that will affect one's economic development in a negative way, because economic development is the basis of religiosity. Bucks are the basis. We're having the Christmas marathon now, and we're recognizing books are the basis, but Shukracharya's motto was bucks are the basis. If you don't have money, how can you be religious? Because with money you can give charity to support the Brahmanas. But without money, how can you perform religious rituals? And of course, how can you give donations to me? Therefore, it is not a violation of Dharma, he told Bali Maharaj, if you do not fulfill this promise. Because fulfilling such a promise would damage your religious principles. And also, he explained, it is natural that if someone comes to ask you for charity, from time to time you can say, I don't have anything, even though that's not true. That's all part of living in this world, and it's acceptable. It's not necessary that you completely reveal your resources and make them available in charity. It's fair enough to say, no, I don't have. Furthermore, I have detected a discrepancy in your promise which nullifies it. According to the Vedic Siddhanta, any promise to be bona fide must be preceded by the word OM. You do not say OM before your promise to give the precepts of land. Therefore, we can nullify it. So this way, Shukracharya was like an expert lawyer, coming up with various legal loopholes. The main principle he's advocating is you must first be materially sound in order to render Dharma. Dharma without economic development is useless. So, Bali Maharaj is thinking about it very deeply. Shukracharya has presented that real religion does not lead to your economic development or sense gratification or fame or means of livelihood. This is a very relevant point because sometimes even our devotees, as they go through various phases in their life, when they leave the ashram, they take up household life, or maybe they never lived in the ashram. It's quite normal these days that they have their household life. And so, naturally, there's some wonder. Well, the first things first. But what are the first things? Now, how much necessary is it to put Krishna first? Perhaps it would be better for devotional service if you put your material prosperity and sense gratification first, and then you'll be relaxed and peaceful. And in that relaxed and peaceful state of mind, you deserve Krishna. There! That could be it. And then you find others who will agree with you. What do you think, you know? I mean, it's not what you hear in the temple, but you know, I mean, here we're members of the real world. And in the real world, you know, we have to acknowledge certain realities which are not often presented fairly in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam classes. Besides, believe in Krishna, Prabhupada's hand. So in this way, these conceptions develop even today. Sukracharya is doing us a great favor by presenting this argument so we can study it and check ourselves out accordingly. So Bali Maharaj hears this and thinks very deeply. Basically, Bali Maharaj is thinking, what kind of guru do I have? Now, please bear in mind, it's not that his guru told him to do a service he didn't want to do. Then we start wondering, can this be a genuine guru? He told me, you know, to take up some kind of service that I don't want to do, so maybe he doesn't really understand my psychology. Or he told me that maybe even though I'm a householder, I could do a bit more service for the temple. I don't know if it's the right one. If not in situations like that, Sukracharya is saying, don't serve Vishnu. Focus on your material life. In other words, Sukracharya is impeding devotional service to the Lord. And for that reason, Bali Maharaj is rightfully wondering, this is not bona fide, this is not genuine. The whole point of the Shastras is to magnify the devotional service to the Lord. Now, Sukracharya is telling me I have Vishnu in front of me, and I shouldn't give. Isn't Vishnu the goal of everything? But finally, if indeed I have attained Vishnu, why shouldn't I give? Maybe this is not a real guru I have. He's telling me, do not serve Vishnu. So this is the point. It's much more serious than a disciple wondering, is the guru urging me in the right way? The senior devotees in the temple, they're giving me advice, but how do I accept it? And the guru is telling me I should probably listen to senior devotees who've been around for a few decades. I don't know. I don't know if I could, is he really, is Gurudev really in tune with what's going on? It's not like that. It's that Sukracharya is there with Bali Maharaj and Lord Vamadeva. Sukracharya is so focused on his material donation that he's saying, don't give. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Sukracharya is a person of the material world. He's right there with the Supreme Personality of God. He's telling his disciples, yes, it's Vishnu, don't give. Book of service, you know what that's like when you're on the sanctified and you meet a nice person and the person is, looks like they're about to take a book and then somebody comes up and says, don't do it, don't buy it, don't buy it. It happens to all our sanctified devotees. You just can't stand it. Poor soul was about to get Prabhupada's book, and then, this nonsense comes up and says, no, don't buy it, don't buy it. This is basically what Sukracharya is doing. He's interfering with the devotional service of the Lord. So rightfully, Bali Maharaj is considering, I have to reject this person. Now, how does Bali Maharaj handle the situation? This is a very great testimony. His responses are great testimony to powerful Kshatriya's diplomacy, how to manage the situation. Now, Bali Maharaj is not going to say, you nonsense, I'm rejecting you. No, he's going to package it very nicely and discreetly. Because in Veda culture, everything is done with taste and finesse, unlike the Wild West. What did you tell me that? Just fool yourself. Okay. culture are packaged very nicely. Everything is done with taste and flair and finesse. So, Bali Maharaj, how does he answer Shukracharya's proposal that one's material means of livelihood and one's reputation, one's sense gratification, economic development must continue? That's the most important thing. And a householder has his first duty to focus on economic development, sense gratification. So, therefore, one should be careful that the religious rituals do not interfere with economic development and revenues. Bali Maharaj takes it on board and he answers in a very brilliant way. It seems like he's going to agree. He says, as you have already stated, the principle of religion that does not hinder one's economic development, sense gratification, fame, and means of livelihood is the real occupational duty of the householder. I also think that this religious principle is correct. Now, if Bali Maharaj is about to do a break with Shukracharya, why is he saying, yes, I think what you said is correct. The real religious principle is one that doesn't hinder the householder's economic development, sense gratification, and so forth. Why is he saying it? I agree. Because Bali Maharaj is basically saying, worship of Vishnu does not impede your material life. It's a very important point. Devotional service brings all auspiciousness. So yes, what you have said is correct, Shukracharya. The real religious principle for a household is one that does not hinder your wealth, your sense gratification. In other words, service to Krishna makes your life beneficial in the best way. Bali Maharaj is taking his stand on the all auspiciousness of bhakti. This is one of the six characteristics of pure devotional service mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the beginning of Nectar Devotion. He places the Shubhada Moksha Madhurta Hritsadora Bhakti Sangananda Visheshatma. So, devotional service destroys all material misery. It brings auspiciousness and it far surpasses liberation. These are some of the characteristics of pure devotional service. So, Bali Maharaj is taking his stand. Of course, it will be all auspicious for my grihastha life if I render service to Vishnu. So you're right, Shukracharya. Yes, I do embrace real dharma. I'm going to do something that will not hinder my material life. This is a very important point to think about, because even in our contemporary setting, many persons think, oh, if I serve Krishna, my material life will go downhill. Bali Maharaj is protesting this one. Basically, he's saying, no, Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, when done properly, soberly, under guidance, is the best thing for all aspects of your life. So, he's going to go on to explain in a way that Shukracharya might understand. Because Bali Maharaj, he's a clever chucky, you know. This Prabhu is a bhakta. He's not a devotee. So he's not going to, like, throw pearls of pure devotion before someone who's just completely absorbed in ritualistic religiosity. He's not going to talk about the glories of pure devotional service of Shukracharya. He's going to talk on Shukracharya's level. So we'll hear that in the coming verses. He's going to explain that if you give charity, your life becomes glorious. And if you give charity to the best person, your life will become super glorious. All auspiciousness will come to you by giving charity, and maha auspiciousness comes to you by giving it to a maha person.
therefore,
yeah, let the charity go on, because everything will be auspicious. Furthermore, you get a good reputation if you give charity nicely, especially to a suitable person. You'll get a big reputation, and reputations last even after death. So, for all these reasons, I should give charity to this Brahmana boy. And then he kind of butters up Shukracharya a bit, that by giving to such a saintly person like you, one gets a great opportunity. And then he would say, he's going to say, and all the sages, just like you, all the great sages would agree with this. But meanwhile, he's completely disobeyed what Shukracharya said. But he's packaging it so nicely, with such finesse. But he's basically saying no. So this is a very serious situation. Prabhupada writes that Balaram's answer is very grave and full of meaning. He's standing up for bhakti yoga. And every real devotee should know how to do that, how to stand up for bhakti yoga. Standing up for bhakti yoga means standing up for Krishna, because bhakti yoga is non-different from Krishna. Now, of course, we have to know how to properly apply the devotional principles in the different ashrams. That someone can be a bit fanatical doesn't mean we disparage the whole principle of surrender to Krishna. There's a proper way that life can progress through the various ashrams and the various phases of the ashrams. Still, the central point is always service to Lord Krishna. It is not easy all the time practicing devotional service within the material world. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one must have guidance. In the fourth chapter of the Gita, the Lord explains so many different types of sacrifices. Sacrifices of your possessions, sacrifices of the senses, of knowledge. And then, finally, it gets to verse 34 of the fourth chapter. The Lord says, if you really want to know, tadvidhi, about the truth of all these different types of yajnas, what is the best thing? Then you approach a genuine representative of Krishna. Render service, inquire submissively. And in the next verse, verse 35, Lord Krishna explains what is the result of having approached a genuine representative of Krishna. We judge things by the result. We are not attracted to religious belief. We are attracted to Krishna's instructions because by applying them, we can see the results. So, in the next verse, the Lord says, yajyatta nakuna moham. The result of approaching a genuine representative is, the Lord says, you won't be in illusion anymore. And what is the manifestation of your not being in illusion anymore? Krishna says, you'll see that all living entities are my parts and parcels. They're mine. That is the proof that you approach a representative of Krishna. You'll get that kind of vision. When you chant the Hare Krishna mantra with attention, you see everything in relation to Krishna. Even a young neophyte devotee knows this. You've had that experience. That some days your japa really just sings, and the holy name just flows from your tongue. And on those days, wherever you go in this city or whatever you're doing, you sing so nicely in relation to Krishna. Your sankirtan flows, your devotional service in the temple flows. You don't see things disjointed and disconnected from Krishna. You can see, this is all because I chanted so nicely in the morning. Sometimes you make your endeavor to chant nicely, and Krishna reciprocates so extraordinarily, and you never forget that. Of course, Krishna is independent. It's not submit like a train to a schedule to our attempts to hear the holy name. We're supposed to simply go on every day chanting with attention, and the Lord of his own accord will reveal himself. So every devotee, even a new devotee, has that experience. Sometimes when I chant, my whole vision changes, and I see the whole world as belonging to Krishna. So this is what Krishna is talking about when he says, the proof of your having approached a genuine representative of mine is you won't be an illusion anymore. You won't see living entities as separate from me. You'll see all living entities as my parts and parcels. You'll know they all belong to me. You'll see in that way. That is the fruit of all the Vedic yogas. Krishna says, by all the Vedic yogas of your own. So the fruit of doing all the Vedic austerities and yogas is to be able to see everything in relation to Krishna. That's why Prabhupada, in his famous treatise on chanting, he explains that by properly chanting Hare Krishna, you'll see everything in this world as diverse extensions of the Lord's energy. You'll even see Maya as belonging to Krishna. Mama Maya Duratya. Medina Prakriti Ashtada. You'll see separated material energy, the eight components, as belonging to Krishna. That is the proper vision. So, Bali Maharaj was at the pinnacle of Vedic Siddhanta. How did it happen that way? He's in a demoniac family. But he had gotten the blessings of Prahlad Maharaj. And therefore, he was able to develop love of Krishna. Bali Maharaj is not sadhana siddha. He's not representing perfection through sadhana. He's representing perfection through guru kripa, mercy of the spiritual master. Palama gave him the seed, and then in the presence of Lord Vamadeva, that seed fructified. So Bali Maharaj is now acting out of love of Krishna. He's impelled by the internal potency of the Lord, where Shukracharya is a personality of the material world, being held by the modes of nature. Albeit Satsagun, for the most part, but still he's impelled by Sri Gunamayi, but not Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, due to the seed, the kripa given by Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, now in the presence of Lord Vamadeva, is a full-fledged devotee of the Lord, impelled by love of the Lord. So you have two different energies working in the situation here. This can create complexities when this kind of thing happens. Even in our younger devotees, but to speak of older devotees, this creates complexities. You've got a situation in which two people, they may even know each other for a long time, but due to their different situations, one situated in the spiritual energy, the other situated in the material energy, it causes problems. Things don't connect. Sometimes people come to Krishna consciousness and then they fall away after some time. And sometimes they expect, why should you treat me any differently? Still the same old me. No. According to your situation in either the spiritual or material energy, you have to be dealt with in a certain way. This is not being rigid. This is not being impersonal. In fact, it is being the utmost personalistic. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yayatam Prabhupada, Tams the Tavakajamyaham. As you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. As you act toward me, I reciprocate. That's personalism. Not that we treat everybody the same, no matter how they're situated in the material or spiritual energy. Hare Krishna. No. And I like that. Bali Maharaj and Shukracharya have a relationship, but they're differently situated. And that's what's causing the problem in this situation. Bali Maharaj is situated in the divine energy of the Lord because of the blessings of Prahlada Maharaj. And Shukracharya is situated in the modes of material nature. Therefore, they have completely different ways of seeing the situation. Shukracharya even had some understanding. This is Vishnu here, but he wants to avoid Vishnu. Bali Maharaj says, okay, if it's Vishnu, great. Let's give him everything. So, we have many lessons to learn from this chapter. Lessons about our anxieties. Will Krishna consciousness impede my material desires? I mean, really, how much should I put Krishna first? Doesn't Krishna understand that we'd be more relaxed in devotional service? We'd be more fit for his pleasure if we just kind of, you know. It's an aversion into material desires. In this way, we think subconsciously that Krishna is against us. You see, if you accept Krishna's program fully, I don't know if that's in your favor. Basically, what you're saying is Krishna's against us. Krishna is an impediment. But Bali Maharaj is explaining, real religion is such that it never interferes with your auspiciousness living in material life. No. Service to Krishna makes everything auspicious. Now, we must say that a devotee's vision of what is auspicious is different than a non-devotee's. So basically, one has to decide what you are. If you're a devotee, then your vision of what is auspicious is different. What do materialists consider to be auspicious? Opportunity for wealth and sense gratification everywhere, unrestricted. Wow, this is great. Some of you can remember your wild days before taking a coffee or bed. Hanging out with your friends. Yeah, this is great. What was great? Unrestricted sense gratification. The more wild, the better. That's the Western standard. It's even affecting those from Indian backgrounds now. They want it. Those from Indian backgrounds, they want a taste, a higher taste. Why repress ourselves, deny ourselves, just because our grandmother and grandfather lived a certain way? We want the best the world can offer, the best in technology and the best in sense gratification. So, we need to meditate on this point. Do we have a grudge against Krishna? I serve Krishna, and now I'm not so materially keen as other people. Maybe devotional service diminished my material appetite prematurely. I don't mind a diminished material appetite when I'm 50 or 60 or 70. Well, I'm still 25, 35. Where's my material appetite? It's all the fault of the So, we have to actually understand the nature of devotional service. When properly performed, no, we're not talking about fanaticism, premature renunciation, all those kind of things. We're just talking about the basic program of devotional service as helpfully applied in any ashram will make all aspects of your life auspicious. Without a doubt. But remember, in order to see that auspiciousness, you have to accept that you are a Krishna bhakta, you're a devotee. You have a different vision of what is auspiciousness. First of all, akama, savakama, moksha kama, udhavati. Whether you are free of material desires, full of material desires, or hanging for liberation, render service to Krishna. You become purified. As you become purified, you understand, I am Krishna's servant. Let me do this service for Krishna's pleasure to the best of my ability. But even if that full understanding hasn't arrived yet, still by serving Krishna, your Krishna consciousness will improve. You'll become more aware. So focus on serving Krishna. Understand who is Krishna, and naturally you'll think how to serve Krishna better, the more you understand who Krishna is. But if someone thinks serving Krishna is pious activity, I'll just serve Krishna. Gradually they'll get a higher understanding. We're not going to, if visitors come here and they feel, I'm coming here because it's pious, we're not going to throw them out the door. Yes, come. Serve Krishna. Gradually you'll understand that your fortune is far beyond material piety, material puny. Anything else? Yes. Fanaticism means that we don't know the spirit behind whatever particular rule or injunction we're following. We're not mature enough to see how to apply things in a balanced, appropriate way that's pleasing to Krishna. I give you an example. You might remember. I know some devotees in their young devotee days who thought that the essential part of bhakti was to take an ice cold shower. Essential. So they wouldn't even, they were living in houses with cold showers and hot shower, but they could have just gone into the shower in the morning and taken a cold shower. But that wasn't good enough. You get the real bhakti. They would go outside on a winter day and bucket shower just to get more, you know, shakti. Then they would boast to each other, fired up as you. Pure emotion. And of course, we know, you know, so much about, like, you know, sometimes, you know, in the ashram, you know, super brahmacharis sometimes, you know, maybe, you know, this financial, wearing. And, you know, a year later you see them married. Bhakti yoga takes guidance. If you have mature guidance, then that is a great wealth. So you slowly try to take advantage of mature guidance. One last point. The last minute. Because this is a marathon. Especially, I would say, well, not everyone needs mature guidance, but the household ashram especially needs guidance. So householders experience the least for at least 10 or 15 years, if not more, married life. Time enough to go through the phases, the cycles, the hot and cold spells, and all that kind of thing. Our Krishna conscious movement desperately needs mature householders who can give mature advice. When householders, particularly, it's true of any ashram, but when householders just become islands unto themselves, and it's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Because very quickly you can just kind of disappear off the devotional map. So we
especially for our householders, I notice we require mature guidance.
Yeah, I understand what you're going through. Been there, done that. You know, don't take it so seriously. Or yes, you should take this situation more seriously. Yeah, this is a cycle. I've seen the cycle before. I've seen the phases. We need those kind of householder advisors because most of our devotees are going to be householders. That's an aside to think. Anyway, we can go on, but we have the Param Vijaya Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Arigato.